The initial part of this homily I cannot take any credit for. I've stolen everything from the fathers of the church. Why does a priest, why does a theologian refer to the church fathers? Who are the church fathers? They are the earliest theologians, the first saints, the doctors of the church, whom the church says are the most trustworthy theologians, because what they hand on to us, they receive directly from the apostles. The fathers of the church spoke about this parable extensively, and this is what they say. Jesus says, "A man fell victim to robbers as he went down from Jerusalem to Jericho." Why does our Lord use Jericho of all the cities he could have chosen near Jerusalem? What is Jericho most well known for? It is the lowest city on the face of the earth. It is 1,200 feet below sea level. It is, in a sense, the pit of the earth, the lowest place you can find. And where does he journey there from? From the mountains of Jerusalem, from the celestial Jerusalem, from the city of peace, which is an image of the garden of paradise. And so what is this man doing? He's making a great descent, a great fall, if you will. So the fathers of the church, they say, who is this man? Our Lord is referring to Adam. And why does he speak of Adam? Because every single one of us is represented by Adam, because we are all his progeny. And so all of the hearers should place themselves as that man who is attacked by robbers. So every single one of us should say, that is me. That is my condition. And who are these robbers that come upon him? St. Ambrose says this. He says, they are the angels of night and of darkness. They are the fallen angels who attack every single one of us. And what happens when Adam was attacked? The parable goes, he is stripped. What did Adam lose when he fell? He loses divine grace. He loses his share in the life of the Holy Trinity. When God created Adam and Eve, he created them human beings. They had natural life. But then he infused into their souls supernatural life. Life that they did not have according to their own nature. And that was lost by Adam. And so every single one of us, when we are born without a share in divine life. It's that which we have to receive through baptism. So this man, attacked by robbers, he is stripped, he is beaten, and it says he is left half dead. Why is he only half alive? Because though he has his natural life, he has forsaken supernatural life, and that needs to be restored to him. And so a priest passes by. And what is our Lord revealing in that? He's saying, the old covenant priesthood, it cannot save. It cannot restore supernatural life. All those sacrifices that are offered, they are merely a symbol. They cannot take away the sins of the world. And then a Levite passes by. Why the tribe of Levi? What did we receive through the Levites? Moses was a Levite. Through them we receive the Ten Commandments. And so our Lord is saying the Ten Commandments also, they cannot save you. They will help you to live a better life, but they cannot make you whole interiorly. Who alone can do that? Who is the Samaritan that our Lord is speaking about? This man from a distant land, from a foreign place. It is our Lord Jesus Christ himself. What does the Samaritan feel when he sees this man lying half dead on the side of the road? It says he was moved with compassion for him. What do the Gospels say over and over when our Lord comes upon a crowd? He's moved with compassion for them. They're like sheep without a shepherd. And what does our Lord do with this man? What does the Samaritan do with this man? He takes him and he brings him to an inn, to a place of refuge. What is this inn but the fathers say the church, where we all have refuge, where we can receive healing? And how does our Lord, how does the Samaritan bind this man's wounds? It says, with oil and with wine. What is our Lord speaking of? What do we receive in the end of the church? We are anointed in baptism, in confirmation, in the anointing of the sick. Every priest on the day of his ordination has his hands consecrated with sacred chrism. And what is the wine? St. John Chrysostom says, it is the blood of his passion that was poured out to save us, that we receive every time we receive Holy Communion. Our Lord is saying to everyone, there is one alone through whom you can be redeemed and divine life can be restored to you. A number of years ago, after a couple of years in the seminary, I became acquainted with a Carmelite sister, a cloistered Carmelite sister. I sent off a letter to a Carmelite monastery and asked if they would pray for me. And it began a correspondence with this one sister. She'd been there for about 15 years. And in one letter that I wrote to her, I did not realize as I was writing the letter, but I was expressing my frustration with myself. And I wrote about, you know, these struggles. I've been in the seminary for 2 years. I don't seem to be changing. I'm still faulty. I'm still wounded. I commit these sins. Sister, what do I do? And I get this letter back from her. And it opens and she says, my dear little brother. Now when I get letters, she says, my dear father. But then it was, my dear little brother. She said, never forget something. All of the time that we spend in this life looking at ourselves is time that we could have spent looking at Jesus. And every time we look at ourselves, there is always reason for discouragement. There is always reason for hopelessness, for worry, for frustration. And every time we look at Him, there's always cause for hope. She said, my brother, when you notice that you are focusing too much on yourself, just shift your gaze upon Him and peace will be restored to you. You cannot heal yourself. Only He can do that. One time, a lady, a married woman, a wife and a mother, she came to me and she said, Father, I'd like to share with you a story about an experience I had praying in front of the Blessed Sacrament. I went one day to make a holy hour. And I went before our Lord and I knelt down. I was so thankful to be there and I greeted Him. And she said, within 2 minutes, I was all caught up in myself. And I started to think about my insecurities and my anxieties and my fear and my jealousies, my woundedness. And all of a sudden, it hit me. I'm thinking, gosh, what am I doing? I came here to pray, and I'm just all bound up within myself. And then it hit me. That's what I've been doing every time I go before the Blessed Sacrament. I'm always turning within rather than looking at Him. And so I turned and I looked at the statue of Our Lady there beside the Blessed Sacrament, and I said to Our Lady Mary, I don't want to deal with this stuff anymore. It's driving me crazy. I give it all to You. I entrust all of this to Your Immaculate Heart. And then I turned again and I looked at the tabernacle. And all of a sudden these words were spoken in me. She said, it was the weirdest thing, though I've never experienced this, because they were my words, even though they did not originate from me. But I was the one speaking them, though they had been placed in my heart. And these are the words that I was given. I looked at our Lord and I said, I am the daughter of a king. I am the daughter of a king. And I just began to weep. Because I knew that all that stuff that I'd just given to Our Lady, that's not really me. That does not define me. That is not who I am in my deepest person. That is not the way that our Lord sees me. She said, Father, I cannot tell you the freedom that has come from that moment. Because every time now any insecurities or anything arise within me, I just immediately give them back to Our Lady. And I know now my in our Lord Jesus Christ, I am the daughter of a king. Our Lord Jesus Christ came to restore our true identity. The identity that God wanted us to have from the beginning that Adam had lost. And every time we encounter Him, beginning in holy baptism, but every time we receive a sacrament, He comes to us anew and like never before, and we enter more deeply into His redemption. And He heals our wounds. He binds them to set us free.